Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis, and of course, we're going to continue our Tropical Storm Isaac update for you as it becomes available. The governor is now speaking, really concerned about the landfall in the panhandle, but we're getting hit right now with tropical storm force winds here in the south and with some power outages. I'm here again, as we are each Sunday, with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from 1 minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. We're going to be talking about hurricanes and how they affect condos and HOAs. Give us a call right here in our studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website, condocrazeandhoas.com, and by clicking on the email the show tab.
And of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com. You can listen to all of our past shows. You can sign up for our free seminars. That schedule is out. We'll talk about that in a moment. You can see who the show's sponsors are. You can visit all their websites. We have several with us today during the show to talk to you about everything you want to know about taking care of your condo or HOA during a tropical storm or hurricane. You can also automatically link to our Facebook page. You can link to the brand new HOA and condo blog. Again, that's at www.hoa-condoblog.com. And, of course, you can join our ever-growing email list and get copies of our newsletters and the other announcements that we send out about the show week in and week out. And, of course, if you want to pick our brains off the air, you can call our law firm. That's Glazer & Associates at 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. Again, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. And the law firm's website is condo-laws.com. Again, condo-laws.com. And before we get to all that hurricane stuff, like we said last week, we're already getting a great response from people who are registering for the board certification seminars throughout the state. Remember, again, Florida law now provides, if you're a member of a condo board, you have to get certified within 90 days of getting elected to that board. And in fact, you can even get certified 1 year before getting elected to the board. And a lot of people choose to do that before they even decide to run for the board because it kind of looks good on their resume, so to speak. And again, one way of getting certified, take the Condo Craze Board Member Certification Course. It's the first course that was written by an attorney and approved by the Florida DBPR.
Yay, and it's free. And Eric has now certified nearly 3,000 Floridians. Boy, it was 2,500. Now it's 3,000.
Yeah, it's going up.
Who are now eligible to serve on the Florida Condominium Board of Directors. The course is fun. The course is free. There's food served as well. You get to ask questions. You leave with a summary of everything you learned and a really nice frameable certificate.
Yeah, like we said, before you know it, election season will be in full swing. So come learn about your duties as board members, budgets, reserves, financial reporting, board meeting procedures, and a lot more. We even added some information this year about material alterations, competitive bidding, and the ever-popular emotional support animals.
Woof,
right? Yeah. And if your board is actually getting interested and certified at the condo or in our law office, again, just give us a call, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE, and we can make arrangements actually to bring the course to you. The next seminar is at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, November 8th, 6 o'clock. Then on December 1st, 10 o'clock, we'll be at the Waldorf Astoria in Naples. And on the 15th of December, back in Orlando at the Holiday Inn at Universal Studios. Again, if you want to register for any of that, just go to condocrazeandhoas.com and fill out the form.
Well, last week we had a special guest on the show, Paul Mack from Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Company, Insurance Agency. Paul told us all about how the governor certainly has plans to make citizens' insurance a thing of the past, which is a big ordeal. And as a result, rates may keep climbing and climbing and climbing.
Yeah, and of course, Karen, all this talk about citizens' insurance coming at a time when it certainly seems that at least parts of this state are going to get hit with this tropical storm, Isaac, out there, or maybe even a hurricane. What's interesting about today is we have so many fans listening from all over the state,
right.
and this particular storm is so huge.
It affects the state.
It's going to affect really everybody in the state, so good time to tune in today. And, you know, we may have dodged a bullet really here in the metropolitan area of South Florida, but our friends in the Keys and the northwest part of the state, I don't know if they're going to be so lucky, but we have lots of guests with us today on the show who's going to provide us with great hurricane tips for your community from both a management perspective and an insurance perspective. But before we deal with all the weather-related stuff that we've been talking about on every single TV show and radio show, let's put that on hold for a few minutes. And we were saying last week that just when we thought the real estate crisis was turning around, the Herald is reporting that real estate deals are now starting to fall through, actually, because while people may be able to afford the mortgage and the taxes, as Paul was actually talking about last week, some of them can't afford the home once the insurance bill is actually thrown into the mix.
Wow. And the debate seems to be that Citizens Insurance was supposed to be the carrier of last resort, but it really turned into the primary insurance carrier here in Florida.
Yeah. And the question is, you know, is that a good thing or a bad thing to have Citizens as the primary carrier? Because, you know, as we know, typically, like, not just with insurance, but with anything else, if there's no competition, that generally results in greater prices. Greater competition obviously normally results in greater savings to the consumers. But on the other hand, proponents of Citizens say that without the state getting involved in the insurance business, insurance will simply become unaffordable for tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of homeowners in our state. But again, as you said earlier, Karen, it's pretty clear that Governor Scott is doing what he can to shrink Citizens and kind of bring back competition to the insurance industry here in Florida. I guess we're going to have to see how it all pans out when all's said and done. But I had a real interesting conversation a few weeks ago that really became a topic of the blog. An aggravated client of mine comes in and he complains that numerous owners have installed washers and dryers in the units over the years without permission from the association. And that as a result, the owners who don't have washers and dryers, they're kind of upset because they're objecting to paying the water bill as part of the common expenses of the condominium association.
Whoa.
Yeah, now, regardless of whether or not the association can actually sue all these people for putting in the washers and dryers, you know, many of the owners believe it's simply unfair. There's a fundamental unfairness in basically equally dividing the cost of the water among the owners when the owners of washers and dryers obviously use a lot more water than everybody else.
Yeah, in other condominiums, single residents believe it's unfair for them to pay the same amount toward the water bill as the family with five living in the new unit next door.
Exactly. That's the debate, Karen. And you would think that one way of possibly correcting that situation would be with the installation of separate water meters for each unit. You know, obviously, that way everybody pays their fair share based upon the exact amount of water they actually used, you know, in that unit. And in fact, my client goes one step further and he contacts a company that specializes in installing these separate water meters in each condo unit, and that would kind of prorate the bill each month appropriately. And I even met with that company, and here's the problem. Florida arbitration cases have held that the installation of these meters, they can be considered a material alteration of the common areas, and therefore you need a three-quarter vote of the owners normally to make that change. So that's kind of difficult, if not impossible. And, you know, when I raised that issue to the owner of the meter company, though, he says that their particular meters can be installed inside the unit and therefore not on the common element, so we wouldn't need that vote. Sounds like a great idea.
Yes, it does. And just when you think the problem is solved, you run into a major roadblock.
Yeah, and here's that roadblock. The statute says, 718.110, unless otherwise provided in the declaration as originally recorded, no amendment may change the proportion or percentage by which the owners shares the common expenses of the condo unless the record owner of the unit and all record owners of liens on the unit join in that amendment, and unless all the record owners of all the other units in the condo approve the amendment. And that is impossible.
All right. And why in the world would the owners who already have the washers and dryers or the larger families vote in favor of this change when leaving things the status quo works in their financial advantage?
Yeah, exactly, Karen. It's never going to happen. But here's what really makes the situation even worse. You know, studies have apparently shown that the overall water usage declines in condos subsequent to installation of these meters. So the theory is that, you know, when people know they're being metered, they're not going to let the water run. So these meters not only make sense from a financial and fairness perspective, but kind of a conservation and green earth perspective. But while it makes sense to allow associations to amend their docs to allow for, you know, these meters for so many reasons, it simply can't happen because we obviously have some real bad law. But let's do this. Let's take our first break. When we get back, we'll find out what our readers think about not being able to install these individual water meters. We'll also get to meet our guests from Condominium Concepts Management, Associate Management, and Mac Waltz Insurance. We're going to have Paul Mack with us, Joanne Willoughby from Associate, and Michelle Valentino. Two or three of them are in the studio with us today. Let's see. Michelle is appearing by phone from Atlanta. She's the lucky one.
Right.
She's staying dry today.
Mess.
And, of course, all of our experts and I will be taking your calls on anything and everything else going on in your condo and HOA world. Give us a call here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Here on Big Talk 850, we're still tracking Tropical Storm Isaac with the 11 o'clock advisory, still about the same 65-mile-per-hour winds, moving to the west-northwest at 18 miles per hour. Should be hitting Key West around 3 or 4 o'clock. It's about 120 miles east-southeast of Key West. Tropical Storm Isaac closing in on the Florida Keys. The Emergency Management Director, Brian Kuhn, says the maximum sustained winds should hit the Keys later today. The storm about 80 miles from Key West. And if you'd like to give us a call here, we're talking about how storms affect condos and HOAs. The number is 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. I'm joined by Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates and a whole room full of guests. And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, have a commercial spot during each week's show. You can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and click on the email the show tab.
All right, Karen, before we went to the break, we were talking about the fact that it may be best to allow these individual water meters in condo units in the interest of fairness, but the way the current law is written, it's kind of impossible to get there, so we really kind of have an illness without a cure. But if we're looking forward to a legislator coming forward with a bill, doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Supporting that change in the law.
Yeah,
right?
Not going to happen because the only thing the legislature did last time around was take away warranties from HOA owners. So just not going to happen.
That helps developers.
Absolutely. That's what kind of a lobby we got going on in Tallahassee. But let's see what some of our readers to the blog thought about whether or not they should have water meters in their unit. Lynn writes in and says, I'd love to see the individual meters. We have a six-unit building. And this would make sure that all pay their fair share in water usage.
Makes sense. Domenico writes in and says, yes, I do agree that if water meters are installed in each unit, water consumption will go down. When people know they don't have to pay for it, they do not care.
Scotty writes in and says, I agree 100% with the installation of individual water meters. People renting out their units have no idea how many people and all their friends and family use the unit, sometimes up to 12 people. All the water for showers, clothes, washing, using the bathroom, it all adds up for all of us to a higher common water bill.
And Henry writes in and says, great article. Legislation like this will be inevitable only if board members analyze this issue as you presented it. It is worth mentioning, too, that wasting water also wastes the energy used to distribute and heat it.
Yeah, of course, a no-brainer. You know, we always have drought issues down here, maybe not today, but, you know, we're always worried about saving water, and this legislation really has no political agenda attached to it, just really conservation. How about we take our first call, Kat from West Palm Beach. How are you, Kat?
Hi. Listen, I want to talk about this water situation. Everyone is making a grave mistake. I'm a single person in a condo. Whether I did my laundry in the public area or I did the laundry in my house, I would pay the same for the water.
Well, I understand it.
That's number one.
Right.
The other thing is the only people who are going to make money here are the people who install this gadget and the water company. I pay a minimum water bill, whether I'm here or I spend 6 months in New York. And I am sure, as a single person, I never even reached the minimum.
Yeah, Kat, let me say this, though.
Hold on,
because I don't think respectfully, I don't know if your reasoning is right. The bottom line is if you had that individual water meter and you had the washers in your unit, you'd get a higher bill, and the common bill for everybody else would be less. So everybody would, in fact, be paying less. So,
no.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
It doesn't really work that way. I would be paying the water company more because I'm paying a minimum bill whether I want to use it or not. They are the ones that are making money every time I go home to New York for 6 months. I got to pay them anyway. But it was a common water bill that 6 months that I would just be paying the portion that I pay. They have a minimum that will choke a horse. And wait till you people find out what it costs to deal directly with the water company.
Kat, I appreciate the phone call. Got to go on to the next topic. But the way I see it, I still think the bottom line is everybody benefits. Everybody winds up paying a fairer share with installation of the water meters. And again, if you have that washer dryer in your unit, that makes the common water bill go up if that's what everybody's paying for. And again, I think that it absolutely saves everybody a lot of money. It saves on conservation. That's the most important thing, because studies have shown that when you have individual waters in the units, everybody kind of watches how they use it for the first time, because without the meters, they really don't care. So, again, one vote yes, one vote no, I guess. But that's why we have the show, to get these ideas. But let's keep moving on, and let's talk about the fact that obviously we got at least a tropical storm going on out there, or maybe even a hurricane is going to hit some parts of Florida, or at least the outer bands of a hurricane. And this is really only the start of the hurricane season. But with us today, we got three guests that are experts in this area of property management and condo and home insurance. So let's welcome Joanne Willoughby from Associate Property Management. Associate is a brand new sponsor to the show, and Joanne's with us in the studio today. How are you, Joanne?
Very good. Thank you.
All right. We got Michelle Valentino. Michelle, you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
All right.
I'm here.
Michelle's from Condominium Concepts Management, also a longtime sponsor of the show and a management company located here in Florida. But I understand you're actually in nice and dry Atlanta today, Michelle. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah. I won't rub it in.
Yeah, we need to sue Michelle for something. But all right, and of course, with us, we got Paul Mack. Paul, thanks for coming back for another week. We appreciate it. Paul's from Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance. And our guests certainly want to know what to do next should they suffer some storm damage here, Paul. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks. Great to be here.
All right, let's start with the two managers, Joanne and Michelle. You know, this storm, I guess it's starting up right now. The eye is supposed to, I guess, start heading towards Key West in a couple of hours. We only got very little time to prepare. Anything you can tell the association managers who are listening out there, members of the board, any last-minute preparations we can do that if you haven't done them up until this point, you only have maybe an hour or two left? What should they be doing?
Well, first of all, we should be determining the designated person on the site who we will be communicating with for the direction, the approval, and the initial assessment of the area. This could be a committee member, board member, or another resident designated by the board. Communication is the key to successfully implementing our hurricane preparedness.
Is that generally like, you know, the president of the board, normally that person that's going to come forward?
Yeah, someone on the board who's in town.
Who's in town, right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Oftentimes that's true, especially as we know, even callers are calling in from New York. Sometimes even when these storms are going on, the management company is forced to deal with people who are actually on the board but sitting in their apartment in New York City somewhere. So, yeah, right, exactly. How about you, Michelle?
You know, I think Joanne is absolutely right, and we have even gone so far as to have some communities where they'll implement, if it's a high-rise, you have floor monitors. If it's a garden-style community, you can have individual building monitors, but you can help people then assist in getting out information. You can distribute evacuation routes should an evacuation be ordered, and or if people just want to leave on their own. You take the state-approved evacuation plans that have been issued and distribute those in case people don't understand and know exactly where to go.
Yeah.
In addition to those things, obviously the batten down the hatches. If people have not already removed any and all outdoor furniture, even to include the common area, pool furniture, those things need to definitely be secured and or removed,
you
put
know,
away, try
yeah.
to minimize flying debris
Absolutely.
As much as possible.
Yeah, I agree. I remember there's been cases that unit owners have parked their vehicles, let's say downstairs, you know, in front of the condominium building, and because the condominium failed to tell everybody to remove their patio furniture from the balconies and didn't have a plan in place, lots of unit owners' cars got damaged. And I can tell you, people were coming forward and trying to pin some liability on the association, saying because you didn't have a plan in place, because you didn't make people take in their patio furniture, condo, you should be somewhat responsible for the damage that happened to my car. I'm not saying that that's the way it works, but I'm saying that people sometimes get angry in that regard. The music is playing, so we're going to have to take our bottom of the hour break. When we get back, again, we'll be with Paul Mack from Mack, Mack & Waltz, Joanne Willoughby from Associate Management, and Michelle Valentino from Condo Concepts. We're going to be taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850, and we are talking about hurricanes and how they impact condos and HOAs. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm with Eric Glazer, attorney from Glazer & Associates. Our number is 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585.
All right, we were talking to Joanne Willoughby from Associate and Michelle Valentino from Condominium Concepts. Guys, let me ask you this. While we may not have to put up shutters here in Broward County or Palm Beach County, at least in Dade County, Monroe, probably a good idea to have put them up by now. And certainly if this storm starts heading towards the northwest corner of the state as a Category 2, those shutters should obviously be put up. But as we know, lots of people that live in Florida may not be here now this time of year. What do you think a management company should do in terms of going into those units maybe and putting up the shutters? You know, obviously, if the unit owner has installed them already, but they're gone, they're just out of the state. What do you think the management company should do?
I think in the case of a potential hurricane, it should be considered an emergency in as much as permission to enter the unit and close the shutters. Management should always inform the owner after they've done so and take no responsibility for the placement of the shutters.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. I think that statute would actually allow you to go in and actually close those shutters, no big deal, if you're going to take the position that this is an emergency. And Joanne, I'm with you on that. How do you feel, Michelle, on that issue?
Absolutely. We agree and have done the same thing in the past.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Sometimes it's actually knowing, you know, what not to do. Like we say in the law, sometimes it's better, you know, what questions to know not to ask. What about types of things that an association shouldn't be doing, types of repairs or preventative measures that's probably not a good idea to take at this point?
I think the association has to be careful, to your point. You know, going in and closing hurricane shutters is certainly something that's considered that would provide additional protection not only to that unit but to others. But beyond that, anything on the interior of someone's unit, trying to go in and provide them with extra weather stripping or any additional repairs, that is certainly not within the realm of the authority of the association. And so, you know, you have to be careful in how far you take that.
Yeah, and I remember watching, I remember Brian Norcross over the years, of course.
Oh,
he was the guy that was obviously with us during Hurricane Andrew. And I remember him saying over the years, whatever you do, when everybody spends time and effort and money taping up your windows, and he always thought that that was the worst idea possible. And also, I've seen it with my own eyes. Some condominiums thought it was a good idea to drain the pool. You know,
no.
And yeah, Joanne,
no.
Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, these are old wives' tales that say to drain the pool and then put all the pool furniture inside the pool.
Right, I've seen it.
It's definitely something you don't want to do. Yes, lower the water level, but never put the pool furniture in the pool. This will cause damage to the diamond braiding.
Yeah, exactly, and it could make things a lot worse than before the storm. But, you know, when it comes to a management company, there's so much more than just taking care of the physical components of the condo structure, the HOA property. There's all the record keeping that goes into effect, all the computer files, all the backup systems. You know, what should a management company be doing at this point, or really should have done already? What system should be in place to preserve the integrity of those records if the power goes out or if there's power surges? You know, how do you protect yourself from that?
You know, to your point, Eric, I would say most associations in today's day and age of technology, we need to have as many records as possible, if not all, certainly all official association records backed up electronically. You can, and if you don't want to have them stored singularly just at the community, you can have them stored off-site at one of the storing third-party companies where they have unlimited storage capacities for you and charge you nominal fees.
Right, and that does
that
exist.
That will certainly protect you in the event of the power failure or a complete loss of an office and a computer.
Yeah, Joanne, I take it that the associate makes sure that records are backed up for the clients that they're holding the records for or doing the accounting for.
We have backup in three different states for our clients, but what's important is when you're preparing for the hurricane to gather all of the important documentation that you think you might need during the event of a hurricane or immediately after so that you have that information with you.
Yeah, oftentimes you'll see it when associations choose to go with self-management. So they give the records to somebody who's, let's just say, not computer literate. They don't hire professional management.
Oh, boy.
A storm comes or a power surge hits, and all of a sudden the treasurer, who's 141 years old, basically says, I didn't back anything up, unfortunately, and we lost everything. So I got to tell you, for no other reason, that's reason enough to go with professional management. But what I'm hearing, I guess, from both of you guys is that it's probably more important than anything else to kind of have a plan in place, bottom line, well before the storm hits. You know, by now, obviously, it's a little too late to have that plan if you don't have one. But really, what should our clients, our listeners, be looking for in terms of a management company creating a plan for them, putting a plan for them in place, before the storm hits? What do you guys do for your clients in that regard?
The board and the owners can expect your community association manager will take charge and prepare the association for any disaster. The manager will coordinate, train, supervise all preparations and repairs. The manager will delegate what the needs are at the time to the community. The manager will assist in recovery efforts and the restoration. And some other expectation is the manager has secured all the contractors that the association will need right after the storm.
Yeah, good point.
Continuing the daily communication.
Yeah, how about you, Michelle? What kind of storm preparation plans does Condominium Concepts put in place for their clients before the storm hits so you're not scrambling once it does?
Absolutely. Preparation is key, and we have an extensive emergency and evacuation plan and procedure in place for each community and for each state that we're located in. We distribute that annually so that as time passes and perhaps people have been fortunate and escaped any need to actually implement the plan, we send it out annually as a reminder. We also prepare it and provide it with every new move-in so that
that's great.
They don't have to wait a whole year before they see it. The plan includes site plans of the community showing where designated convening areas would be in the case of an emergency, evacuation routes, as I mentioned earlier, provided by the state, locations of various shutoffs within their units, so if they need to turn off certain systems prior to leaving the home, helpful reminders of items to take with them, whether it's personal records or medications. We also give them a list of if they want to evacuate, the closest shelter locations they might be able to go to if they're not traveling far away.
Gotcha.
Our staff is completed and outfitted with emergency responder packs that we provide and have on site, not only for staff members but also for every board member and even a volunteer, as I mentioned earlier, if it's a building captain or a floor captain, so that staff who's on site after the storm assisting the cleanup efforts and or also assisting people. Homeowners and residents can easily identify who is there on site that isn't the capacity to help. So we have all that in place and ready so that we are all prepared if that situation were to arise.
All right, let's do this. Let's take our final break of the hour. When we get back, we're going to talk with Paul Mack about what to do after the storm. And both of you may want to think about what kind of a role does the management company actually play post-storm. In other words, does the managers have a job to kind of cooperate with the insurance agent and help assist in the preparation of the claim? What should we be doing in terms of getting bids, like you were saying, Joanne? And we'll talk about all of that and more when we get back. Taking your calls, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. We are continuing our hurricane coverage, and also on this show, we're talking about the effects of a hurricane on your condo or HOA. I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates. We are taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. No change in the forecast track of the storm right now, so we'll get right to the meat of the show. Lots of people in the studio, and we also have a guest on the phone.
All right, let's talk about insurance. Paul Mack from Mack and Waltz. It seems to me that some people may be waking up, whether it's not in South Florida, certainly may be in the Keys or in the northwest section of the state, that tomorrow morning or Tuesday is going to want to talk to their insurance agent about some damages that they suffered. What's the first thing that they should be doing?
Well, you know, that's what we're here for, to take those claims. But that's what they should be, is getting ready to report claims to their agent or directly to their carrier. Hopefully they have those numbers with them. They got to assess the damage. Photographs are a great way to document what the damages were before the storm and after the storm. And most importantly, they've got to protect the property from any further damage. So some people are afraid to spend money without the approval of the insurance company, but they have a duty in the policy to protect it from any further damage.
And I was going to ask you just about that, and I guess that's called mitigating your damages. But, you know, again, oftentimes after a storm, the associations actually do have to lay out money for, like, emergency repairs, whether it be even for a tarp or something like that, before the insurance agency even gets a chance to inspect their property. Like you were saying, how important is it to make sure that these repairs are well documented, photographed? And another thing, how about performed by licensed personnel if the association actually wants to get back the money for these repairs?
Yeah, that's all very important. You know, documenting the claim so that the insurance company, I mean, that just is going to make it smoother and easy transition with the insurance company. That's where most of the disputes come from, is over what was damaged and what was damaged before.
Right.
Before the claim.
Right.
I mean, we see a lot of that. There's exclusions on all the policies for any existing damage.
Right, but just think, use common sense, have photographs, be able to show your insurance agent exactly the damages that were suffered both before and after. And a lot of smart clients, like we said last week, take pictures of the property before the storm actually hits. But I got to tell you, Paul, over the years, I've seen so many associations really learn the hard way in terms of how their insurance deductible works. A lot of associations think that because they have, let's say, a 5% deductible, if they're, just to do the math easy, if their property suffers $100,000 in damage, that 5% deductible reduces their recovery by the $5,000, and now they get $95,000 from their insurance company. But that's not how the deductible works at all, is it?
No, it's not, and that is a commonly misunderstood piece of their insurance. Well, the way it works is you've got a replacement valuation that's set on the building, and let's just make it simple in round numbers. If it's $1 million and you've got a 3% deductible, it's $30,000. It's not going to be a percentage of the amount of the damage as you referenced. So
right.
So it's always a lot bigger than what they expect. And I try and explain that every year so that they understand it, but it's oftentimes misunderstood.
Right. So the bottom line is that 5% applies to the total value of the property, not the total value of your claim. So oftentimes you put in that claim and you think you're going to get back a whole chunk of change, and you don't, because the deductible perhaps has eaten it up.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
You've also, you know, a lot of people are insured by Citizens, but some have non-standard companies that are writing their programs, and there are minimum deductibles that are in there. So if you have a 5% deductible, but you've got 20 buildings and only one or two are damaged, there could be a minimum in there. So
really?
So you've got to watch out for some of that language that's in there.
All right, and we know, as we said now, the deductible on your policy is determined by what that value of the condominium property actually is. How is that value determined, and how often do the associations need to address that issue?
That's a very important issue. Every 3 years, according to condo statute, you're required to update your replacement valuation appraisal, and that should be done by, you know, there aren't any licensed, per se, appraisers, but there's a lot of good people out there that know insurance valuation, because oftentimes, you know, our associations think that they should be insuring the market value of what these units are selling for, and that's got nothing to do with what it costs to replace the buildings from damage.
Is that something that your insurance agent should actually be reminding you of, basically, to make sure that you actually had the property reappraised once every 3 years?
Yes, that is part of our responsibility.
Yeah, don't leave it up to the board to actually think that they're going to do it without their agent reminding them. But there's been a lot of talk over the years, really, about whether or not associations are even required to insure the property, believe it or not. There's always been debate about this. And it probably sounds like a crazy idea to a lot of people, especially as a storm goes by. But what does the Florida condo statute actually say about whether or not the association actually has to even insure the condominium property?
It requires them to make their best efforts in order to acquire insurance. And, you know, like we talked about last week with Citizens being out there, that really shouldn't be a problem. You know, with the reinspections that are coming forward and sometimes with underwriting, these policies get canceled. And that could be an issue. We see sometimes it's in rare cases, but we do see that they're not eligible for Citizens because of some underwriting requirement
right.
that they haven't complied
with. Right. But I still think bottom line is if an association uses their best efforts, even during the foreclosure crisis, the property still should be insured. I don't think there's any way around that. It's going to be impossible for people even to get mortgages on certainly new purchases if they can't come up with proof that the building is in fact insured. It's simply not going to happen. But quickly, Paul, let's talk about what that condo master policy should cover. Let's say everybody, a lot of people wake up on Monday or Tuesday and there's lots of damage to the common elements. What types of things should be covered under that condo's master policy?
You see things like the roof, the outside walls, everything from the outside of the building, from the unfinished drywall out. Doors and windows are included in the master policy. So, you know, the legal definition would be all portions of the condominium property as originally installed or replaced, and it needs to be replaced with like kind and quality according with the original plans and specifications.
Yeah, and for the bad news, really, there's things that are obviously not covered under the policy because these fall within the policy that should have been purchased by the individual unit owners. Just give us an idea quick of the types of things that we better not expect coverage for.
Yeah, floor coverings, wall coverings, fixtures, cabinetry, appliances, window treatments, all of those things are not at all part of the master policy. And, you know, as just a rough rule of thumb, the unit owner should be looking at about $30 a square foot to replace that in their unit times however many square feet they have in their unit.
Right. And again, the type of policy that the unit owner should actually get. Paul, give us the name and how the unit owner should actually go about getting that.
It's an HO homeowners, HO6 policy.
All right. And that's something that you can help them out with. I certainly take it.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's do this. Let's quickly let everybody know how they can find out more from our experts and get in touch with them. Paul, tell us name of the company and how we can get in touch with you should we have some insurance issues.
Mack and Waltz. We're www.mackinsurance.com. We're at 800-351-4224.
All right, Joanne, tell us about Associa.
We could be reached at Association Services of Florida. It's an Associa member company. Our phone number is 954-922-3514. You can reach me directly at jwilloughby@associaflorida.com, or you can contact us through Facebook or www.associaflorida.com.
All right. How about you, Michelle?
All right. Thanks so much for the opportunity. You can reach us anytime, of course, on the web at condominiumconcepts.com. We have 5 regional offices located across 4 different states. Our South Florida office, for those listeners, is area code 772-618-5370. The Atlanta corporate office, where our corporate headquarters is located, is 404-917-0600, and we would be happy to speak with you there and direct you to one of our regional offices.
All right. Paul, Joanne, and Michelle, I hear the music playing. I really want to thank all of you for being on the show today and educating our listeners, even coming out during this horrible weather. Guys, that shows devotion on all 3 of their parts, no two ways about it, to what these people do every day. Thanks for tuning in to another week of Condo Craze and HOAs. Be sure to tune in today and listen to Karen Curtis give you updates about the storm. See you next week on Condo Craze and HOAs.